Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the TMZ Podcast. I'm Charlie Cotton and today I'm joined by Jason Beckerman.
It's good to see you, Charlie. I'm excited to be here.
It's very good to see you too. You're our head lawyer here at TMZ.
That's me.
And one of the friendliest blokes around the office, I must say.
Thank you. That's sweet of you.
So we got some good stories to discuss with you today. Lauren Boebert.
Yeah.
We got her at DC Airport flying in to go to work. And we talked to her all about that handsy incident.
This is my favorite story of 2023.
It could be.
It took 9 months to get here, but I think this is my number one favorite story.
She answers all of our questions about how she got handsy with her on a first date with a guy.
Yeah, a last date.
Our first and last date with a guy at a Beetlejuice concert or whatever. I don't know. We'll talk about Kevin Costner. And his wife, Christine, they've settled their divorce now, surprisingly, because it was the most bitter divorce. It was going through the courts, but it's over now. Good luck to them for the rest of their lives now. But to begin with, Shannon Beadle, she's a real housewife of OC. She got into a really messy car accident on Saturday night in Newport Beach. So I went down to Newport Beach yesterday.
You did?
Yes.
To investigate the story?
Yes.
Wow.
It was one of the first times I've ever felt like a real reporter, honestly. It's not like I'm at LAX asking people about farts or, you know what I mean? Just like stupid questions.
I think you're selling yourself short. I think you get out there. Sometimes it's farts, but other times you're like asking pointed questions about big stories,
yeah, I'm
right?
Yeah, I'm trying to set a contrast.
Oh,
though.
Okay. Fair enough.
So yesterday I went down and did a bit of talking to neighbors. And we got this surveillance video of the crash.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crazy, actually, because these streets in Newport are really thin. It's almost like they're one-way streets, but I think they're not. You just have to kind of pull over if someone's headed towards you.
Yeah.
These are really thin streets. And a bit before midnight on Saturday night, she was racing around in this car and lost control of it, hitting a property. And then she fled the scene. Now, that's all really bad and stupid and everything like that. But her stupidest act was she drove a bit further down the road, parked her car, came back and pretended she was walking her dog.
Yeah.
Just to sort of like see the damage or I don't know, just rubberneck a bit at what she'd done. And cops knew it was her and they booked her then and there.
Yeah.
They saw that she was intoxicated when she was walking her dog. She just totally messed this one up.
Well, it's amazing what makes sense to you in your mind when you're drunk.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'll do? This makes perfect sense. It's like foolproof, right? I'll walk upon the scene. I'm with my dog. What could I have possibly done wrong?
Right.
You know, but so she's nailed for hit and run, probably felony hit and run because she created a lot of property damage.
Yes.
It could be charged either way. If there's damage to a person, it's always going to be a felony. Damage to property could be a misdemeanor. But I think this one's pretty big. Clearly really hammered and, you know, caused a lot of property damage too. Really just sort of, you know, it's tens of thousands probably to that property that she crashed into.
Yeah, and I mean, neighbors told me that they heard that she was having a big fight with her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, interesting.
And so she's got this like on-again, off-again relationship with this guy, John Jansen.
Yeah.
If you watch the show, it's a lot about John Jansen and her love affair. I don't watch the show. But it's interesting that, you know, this is the cameras weren't rolling at all. They're not filming The Real Housewives.
Right.
This would be great fodder for the show. She'd be talking about it the next day. You know, Andy Cohen would be there talking to her about it.
Yep.
But all we know from her side is basically what her lawyer's saying. And also one of her friends is saying stuff too. But, you know, it's a standard stuff. She's apologetic. She's remorseful.
So let's talk about the statement from the lawyer. So
go on.
Bader's lawyer tells TMZ, I spent quite a bit of time with Shannon yesterday. She's extremely apologetic and remorseful. We will be awaiting the official information on the case as it becomes available. I hate that statement. Of course, she's apologetic. She's and remorseful.
Means
but,
nothing.
Like, it means nothing. It right. is empty words. And as soon as the charges come, they're going to start downplaying this, right? Mm. As soon as they charge her with a felony, it's going to be, well, she's not that apologetic and remorseful.
Yeah.
Because really, what damage was done? Nobody was hurt in this entire thing. So I just find it, you know, the height of hypocrisy that they come out with these statements. I find her entire antics, the DUI, the crashing into the car, the going to get the dog. I find somebody who isn't really that apologetic for it, didn't say at the scene, didn't leave a note, took off,
leave a
then
note.
Tried to lie about what had happened. You know, right. it's not the kind of remorse you want from someone.
Okay, then you're her lawyer. Yeah. What are you advising her to do and
this
say?
This exact statement.
I mean, like...
what do you want from me?
Yeah,
no, I would honestly... what else are you going to do, I guess? Maybe not issue a public statement. I don't think it's that important to do. I think it makes you look kind of like you're using this and trying to, you know, salvage your own public relations in some way.
Which may be true.
Which may be, well, yeah, I'm sure it is entirely true. And Andy Cohen's, you know, making a call. He's pissed off.
Is he pissed off, or why would he be pissed off?
Well, actually, maybe not. I mean, if they're going to explode for the... He's pissed off because it didn't happen during the season run.
Right. If you're going to drink and drive, Shannon, at least do it when we're filming.
But this is bad. This is not like, you know, cheating on your ex or something that he loves and flirts in it. Or
this is dangerous behavior.
This is dangerous. Somebody could have been really hurt. I mean, she slammed into this building. If there was a pedestrian there, they would have been killed. This is just there was no stopping her at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah. I could hardly drive down the streets in daylight because they were so thin and you had to like look out for things, let alone, you know, when it's pitch black. And also there's a gas, she narrowly missed a gas station. On the other side of that wall is like a big gas station. So if she'd driven into that.
She's flying. Like folks haven't seen the video. She is going really fast. This is not like somebody who's like sort of drunkenly kind of meandering down the road. She's flooring it around a curve. She skids out. Almost spins out and hits this building flush on. The front of the car is completely caved in. There's huge damage to the building. You know, it was a big deal. Obviously, a pedestrian there, they just would have been slaughtered right there.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably lucky that she just, you know, knocked over a few...
Oh, for sure. She got cement. Really lucky, right?
And yeah, so we'll have to wait and see what comes of that. But she's in deep strife.
But when the show starts airing, and this is going to be, you know, story number one, I guess, to your point about Andy Cohen not really minding that much. But
right, it really will be.
Bad luck.
Because this is big news, I believe, in the Real Housewives universe. Everyone's, I don't know, I'm not one of those, like, what do you call them, like, housies? Like, what do you call
I people? Love yourself, you're holding yourself up to some higher standard, but you've never missed an episode of any of the Bachelor series ever.
Oh, you know, Bachelor's one thing, you know, Real Housewives another.
Right.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.
On to our next story. Representative Lauren Boebert. She said that her hookup with the theater guy will not be continuing. He will not get another date. So if you haven't seen this video from a day or two ago, you do yourself a favor and look at Lauren Boebert and this guy have their hands all over each other's privates in the movie theater.
Not a movie theater. A musical. It's a musical.
Musical theater. Oh, yeah. They're singing Beetlejuice live.
Right.
That's a sing-along, right?
Is it a sing-along? I guess so. But it's at least a musical, right? I don't think it's a sing-along.
Right.
But the one thing to keep in mind, because, you know, you and I may differ on this a little bit. Mm. There's tons of kids that go see Beetlejuice. This is something that is meant for all audiences.
It's a family show?
It's a family affair. Yeah.
All right. But, I mean, I don't take issue with her and her date getting handsy because I think that it's somewhat private. We've got a...
It's dark.
It's dark in there, and we've got, like, security video where we can see...
Right, and their security, in these theaters, their security video is, like, night vision security video.
Yes.
So we're seeing things that the people around her probably couldn't see.
Yes, and that is not the reason she was sort of evicted from the theater. The reason she was sent out by security is because she was vaping, because she was singing along, actually, a bit too boisterously, And because she, I don't know, she was just causing a ruckus. You know, you can see in the security video, she's causing a ruckus and there's a pregnant lady behind her sitting by herself just trying to enjoy a bit of Beetlejuice.
Who leans forward and says, "Do you mind stopping?" And she says, "You're a sad and miserable person."
What, I mean, Lauren Boebert is just cut from a different cloth. Yeah. Like, she is something else. Well, we got her yesterday in D.C., returning to work, and this is what she had to say.
Ultimately, all future date nights have been canceled, and I learned to check party affiliations before you go on a date. But all in all, you know, it was mostly a lovely time, and, you know, I've taken responsibility for my actions.
What she's learned out of this whole incident, the thing she says she's learned, is to check party affiliations before going on a date.
Because the guy whose penis she was groping in the middle of the theater
happened to be a Democrat. That's a Democratic penis.
So it leans left.
That was pretty good.
And she says, you know, that somehow that was the cause of her antics in the theater, was that he was left-leaning.
Unbelievable. This guy's name is Quinn Gallagher, and he actually owns a bar that, you know, sometimes has drag nights.
Right.
She's against drag or anything of that
ilk. Made horrible statements about everybody in the LGBTQ community, and meanwhile, and about all liberals. And she's on a date with the Democrat who owns a bar.
Right.
That caters to that crowd, yeah.
But what a night for that guy, man. I mean, and it was a first date, too.
So he apparently is married, but...
Oh, he's married?
He's married, but the status of he and his relationship with his wife, we don't really know.
It's probably not good right now.
It's probably not good right now. If it was good before, it's definitely not good now. But putting that aside for a second, it's a good moment for him, right?
Oh, I mean, it's your claim to fame for the
Your claim to fame.
You put it outside your bar right now. I got touched by Lauren Boebert.
Right, this is Boebert's penis right here.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just funny because the whole groping stuff, I don't mind. Almost in a way, endears me to her it makes her a bit more normal.
Humanizes
her because everything else she does and says, and even her antics, like shouting and vaping, she just thinks she's above it all, and she thinks she's. I mean, the groping I can get down with.
So let me ask you this. She said it was her first date. I think this is lie number, like, four in the scenario. The biggest one, she said she was not vaping. She adamantly rejected that, and then the surveillance video comes out and shows she is. But she says first date. There's no way. You and I have been on plenty of first dates and plenty of, you know, seventh dates or whatever.
Yes.
They are groping each other in the theater. This is not the first time he's touched her boob.
I would doubt it. I would doubt it. But also, they appear to be quite drunk. You know, like, if they had had, like, a series of drinking in the afternoon and then headed out to the big Beetlejuice thing in the evening, maybe you're at a point where you're just, like, you know, really loose with it all.
This is a pair to me that has either had sex or is about to have sex.
Yes.
And I don't know. I mean, it's clearly early in the relationship. They have a fondliness that's not like 4 days.
You don't recognize that anymore, do you?
No, it's different. I just think that this, I'm guessing this is not the first date. I think they've at least already had sex maybe earlier in the day to give her the benefit of the doubt. That's technically the first date. But I'm guessing they've seen each other 3 or 4 times. That's my guess.
I would guess so, too. Yeah. I would guess so, too. Do you think anyone on Capitol Hill, you know, you think Mitch McConnell goes, "Hey, Lauren," you know? Do you think anyone talks to her about it, any of her colleagues?
Yeah. I think she becomes like to the extent they didn't already know it, like, you know how guys are, right? She's like she's very attractive.
Yes.
She's like a Capitol Hill 9.
I agree.
And so she's very attractive. And now that you know she's kind of into like dirtier stuff, there's some guys who are going to be very attractive.
Because could you imagine if sort of like somehow video of you came out doing something like this and then you had to walk into the workplace?
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of snickering about you?
Yeah. No, it'd be hard. It'd be hard to get through that. Yeah.
It really would be. It really would be. What a great story.
But I think Mitch McConnell would still like it.
I think so. He's watching. Oh, yeah. Kevin Costner and his wife, Christine, are officially divorced.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Right, because they've been going through it. They're now finally resolved it and are divorced, and hopefully this thing will go away forever.
She wasn't making life easy on him, you know? Yeah. Like, he was trying to wriggle out of it. He offered her, you know, various settlements of different amounts, and she wanted more. She did not want the prenup to be upheld.
Yes.
They did sign a prenup because he was worth a lot of money when they got married, and he continued, like, he's a very successful guy, obviously. But she was sort of like the one looking after the kids, and she was she's entitled to
a big chunk, right?
To a big chunk.
And now has to help take care of these kids, and they're still minors, and she's entitled to money to keep them in the in the standards in which they become accustomed. Right.
So they were married for 18 years. They had three kids together. She was asking for, she wanted about $250,000 a month from him.
Yep.
But it ended up around $60,000 a month.
Which is right about what he was offering all along. So he won that element of it. He won the child support aspect. He was offering about $60,000. She wanted $250,000. It came in at $63,000. So he won that aspect of it. There was a whole idea of challenging the prenup. But this prenup, he did something very smart for him, which we included what's called a poison pill in the prenup, which is something that says if you challenge the prenup and you lose, you're going to have to pay all of my attorney's fees for fighting it, which would have been in the millions, and there's penalties on top of it, would have been in the millions of dollars. It's called a poison pill for obvious reasons. It's sort of, you know, basically, if you try to muck this up, there's going to be a poison pill that's going to pollute the entire thing.
Interesting.
And so,
great lawyering right there. Great lawyering, something.
But you have to have the leverage to do it, right?
Yeah.
She said yes to that clause. A lot of potential spouses will say, I'll sign your prenup, but you know, I'm not going to sign a poison pill, and you have to negotiate whether you want to include it or not. But he had all the leverage, and she signed it. And that was the thing that was sort of a sword of Damocles hanging over her neck. If she goes forward with this, this sword might drop and chop her head off. It's sword of Damocles analogy. So, that's really sort of what I think ultimately got to the resolution they got to.
Because already she now owes about $300,000 to lawyers various fees. If she had, like, continue to challenge the prenup and, you know, this poison pill had taken effect.
She would have paid her lawyer's fees, his lawyer's fees, penalties on top of it. It would have been disastrous.
So, I mean, $63,000 a month, which is what she's going to get from him, you know, doesn't go that far towards, you know, paying off these fees, let alone if she had more to pay. Because the money's supposed to basically...
You sound like a man who earns more than $63,000 a month.
Well, I mean, she's got to pay for these kids. She's got to find a new house. She's got,
so everybody knows, Charlie does not make more than $63,000.
Oh, God, I wish, man. $63,000 a year I'm almost happy with. No, that's not true. But I mean, she's got to go and find a new place now. And her whole life has changed.
Yes.
She's got to go and start a new life somewhere else and hopefully provide a similar sort of experience for the kids when she has them in her custody.
Well, remember, in addition to the $63,000 a month, which is what, about $750 a year, it's a ton of money.
Okay, yeah, that is a lot.
He's also paying for, like, the private schools and things like that. It's not like she just gets the $63,000, she's got to figure out life. It's like she's got these kids who are being well provided for by their father. And in addition to that, she gets $63,000 a month. So, and that includes, like, going to pay her mortgage or her rent or wherever she is, all the stuff that might come with, like, she can get the G-Wagon to drive them around. You know, all that stuff is included in that. She's going to live a very nice life. Now, that's $63,000 a month. The difference between child support and spousal support is it cuts off when the kids are 18.
Okay.
And I have no idea what her background, you know, he gave her loads of gifts during the course of the marriage. Those are all hers to keep. You know, I doubt she's going to be destitute afterwards. And but nevertheless, it's a different style of life than she had become accustomed
to. Definitely.
Given his, you know, nine figures of wealth.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of don't feel like we've seen the last of her.
Oh, interesting.
Because, I mean, she's just caused such a ruckus with this divorce and almost savored in all of the different stories coming out.
Right, and the rumors are that she was, a lot of parties have denied this, but there's some smoke here that she was banging his former really close friend, who also happens to be a billionaire. So, you know, she may trade in those circles for a little
while. She's Lauren Sanchez-y.
She could be. Yeah, we don't know exactly, but yeah, she's pretty.
She's
super pretty.
She can, like, trade to another guy, you know. I think she'll be just fine, to be honest. And him, there are big reports that he's trying to get back to Yellowstone. He really wants to be back on the show Yellowstone, which he's not on anymore. So I don't know whose future is kind of brighter because he's out of that job, which was a massive job. It was his show, but he's not on it anymore. I don't know what the future holds for both of them, but, you know.
He can act, though. He's still a viable actor, I think.
He's older.
He's older, but he's still, I think he can get roles, right? He's Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
He's a big star.
He could get Yellowstone-y-type roles.
Yeah, pretty good.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining me here
today,
Beckerman.
Always a pleasure. Happy to join anytime.
Always a pleasure. Never a chore, Beckerman. Okay, guys.
See ya.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you here tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.